Hello and welcome to episode 37 of a Thai football podcast, coming today from Konkan Provincial Stadium as Konkan United host Port in a T1 clash. I'm here about an hour and a half before kickoff. There's already quite a few people milling about. I've bought tickets to go in. Looking forward to this one. Should be very entertaining. Hope it was not going to be my third 0-0 in a row at this ground though. Hoping to break my duck today on this trip. There's a Thai Port fan wandering around, looks like he's doing a vlog. He's filming things and asking people questions. I'm keeping out of his way, otherwise we could have one of those situations like man bites dog, where the two documentary crews bump into each other, or that scene in the Louis Theroux Scientology documentary where they start making a documentary about him as he's making a documentary about the Scientologists. I think I've managed to avoid him. He's gone. Looks like the Port fan club bus has just arrived to a great fanfare. That was the sound you might have heard in the background. So anyway, the bus has just pulled up behind the away end. I'm just tucking in some lovely food here. More later. The Thai Port vlogger is back. He went off to meet his mates off the bus, and I've still managed to avoid him so far. He was talking to another Thai Port fan. Honestly, you can't move these days without vloggers and podcasters at Thai football. What's the world coming to? It's absolutely ridiculous. Anyway, I'll keep you updated on his movements, and if I do manage to keep avoiding him, I've done pretty well so far. I've managed to duck down behind a food stall, but he does keep looking in this direction. Maybe I should go over and say hello. No, I'll wait till he comes to seek me out, I think. Anyway, crowd starting to build about an hour before kickoff. Drums have arrived for the home fans. So yeah, it should be a really good atmosphere today. Bloke's just walked past me. Spitting image of Lee Mack. He's not wearing club colours, so I don't know if he's Port or Konkan United. And I'm too scared to go and talk to him, just in case he's not as funny as Lee Mack. But he really looks like him. It's the truth. Would I lie to you? Right, I'm with Sean. Sean's a Konkan United fan, originally from Darlington in the northeast of England. So it's good to meet you, mate.
Thank you.
And thanks for agreeing to do this. Really appreciate it.
No worries.
So, Port visitors today. What are your expectations?
I think it'll be a draw today. I think I'll go for a score draw, 2-2.
That'll be good for me. I've been here last two games and I haven't seen a goal yet, so I'll take 2-2.
Well, in the last four games, I think I've scored one and let in three. So I think 2-2 might be a little bit adventurous, but I think both teams haven't got a great defence, so I think it'll be a score draw for me.
Games involving Port usually have plenty of goals in them, so you won't be far wrong, I think.
I think they're leaking goals, so let's hope plenty of goals. 6-6 will do, won't it?
Yeah, I'd settle for that. It's been a struggle this season for Konkan United. What about the rest of it? Are you confident you're going to stay up?
I think they'll stay up because I think they brought in 9 players. Well, 2 of them returned, 7 new ones, released 4. And I think they've got 3 quite good quality players for the Thai League in that 7. So I think they'll stay up, yeah. I think they'll just about do it again. Maybe a couple of points.
In these situations, you always look at other 3 teams worse than us, and I think in Konkan United's case, I think there are, definitely.
I think it's really difficult. The bottom team to the 7th place team, there's only something like 7 or 8 points between them. So any 3 of those can go. If you get a bad run or you put a good run, you're going to get clear or you're getting in trouble, you know what I mean? So I think if you put 2 or 3 losses together, I think you're going to be struggling. I think every team's got to put a little run together to get out of trouble, and I think Konkan have got the players to do that.
Well, let's hope so for your sake. Anyway, it's been great. Really enjoyed that, Sean, and thanks very much. Appreciate it. Your mates weren't as keen to talk to me, so I don't know what it was about me, but thanks. I do appreciate that.
No worries. They know I talk a lot.
Okay, so we're in the ground about 10 minutes before kickoff. It's very quiet. It's quite eerily silent. Anyway, I've been joined by Andy, and those of you who listened a couple of weeks ago will know that Andy's the Oldham fan that I bumped into in Konkan. So Andy's here. It's his first T1 game. So what are your expectations tonight, mate?
Well, I think it should be a good game. Plenty of goals. Port are obviously pushing Buriram at the top of the league, so they'll be well up for it. And let's hope Concord United can put in a good performance and win the game, to be honest. So, yeah, going to look forward to it.
I actually meant Oldham against Southend, but if you want to talk about Concord United against Port, that's absolutely fine. Yeah, you're the second person who said there's going to be lots of goals tonight. I spoke to a Concord United fan who predicted a 6-6 draw. And what about the crowd?
Yeah, it's not bad, is it? A lot better. I came last time, Concord FC, so it's a lot more people here than Division 3, in Division 1 rather than Division 3. But yeah, hoping for a great game. I'm thinking same 3-2 to Concord United tonight.
And we're right in the middle of the home fans as well, the boisterous home fans, and it will hopefully pick up. I can't believe how quiet it is. There's nothing blasting over the PA system. The people around us are very, very silent. It's just a murmur. It's like being at a cricket match. It's quite a strange atmosphere. Hopefully they will come to life once the game gets started. So 5 minutes before kickoff, next update at half time. It's half time here at the Concord Municipal / Provincial Stadium. Fair to say, it's not been a classic. 0-0. Fairly even, I would say. Port finishing the stronger, and Port have had the better clear-cut chances, but so far neither team has looked that impressive in front of goal. The crowd's grown. Fantastic crowd in tonight. This popular side is pretty full all the way around. Large gaps at the away end, but not a bad turnout from Port. I'd say about 150. And the main stand again on the far side is full. I realise now I'm competing against some lady on the PA system, and it's a bit of an unfair battle. Even though I'm only about an inch from the microphone, she's got a few thousand megawatts of sound or whatever it is behind her. I hope for a bit better in the second half. It's got a lot to live up to if we're going to get Sean's 6-6 draw. And my wife's just brought some beers for me and Andy. Thank you, love. There you go. Again, one of the advantages of being at this ground is they sell beer inside, and they've got it very well sorted. You just turn up and it's all there ready for you. No fuss. Let's hope we have a better second half. I'm not even going to ask Andy what he thought about that. In fact, I don't want to wake him up, if I'm being honest. But anyway, more at full time. Finished here, Concord United 0, Port 0. Inevitably, really, given my record at this ground over the past couple of weeks. Not the greatest of games. It's hard to tell which team were at the top and which team were at the bottom for long periods. I don't think Port showed enough quality for a team that is still in the title hunt. And at the end, their fans seem quite happy with a point, which surprised me. I think the 3 points were probably there for the taking. Second half slightly better than the first. Still not a lot to get excited about. I'm hoping to get a few words from Andy. I just need to wake him up. So I'll go and give him a nudge, and then we'll get Andy's thoughts on his first T1 game. I've managed to wake Andy from his slumbers, and he's agreed to share a few words with us about his thoughts on his first ever T1 game. So, Andy, over to you.
Well, it wasn't the most exciting encounter, I must say, and my 3-2 prediction was a bit out of the window, but I enjoyed it, and good company, nice couple of Leos, and hope to see some goals at the next game I go to. Right, thanks a lot.
Cheers, Andy, thanks. It's been great chatting to you. And we discovered as well over the course of the evening that we've got many mutual acquaintances. Small world. That's it from Concord Stadium for tonight. A very disappointing 0-0 draw. So it's over to Rob, who's watching Cetaket City in the semi-pro league. Over to you, mate. Let's hope you have a better game than we did.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Dale. I do hope it's going to be a better game today for me. And as you mentioned, it is the semi-pro league that I'm focused on this afternoon. So a few hours before kick-off, I think it's only right that I fill listeners in with the details and what's entailed with the Thai semi-pro league. This is the second full season that it's run, as far as I'm aware. And basically, the top team in each of the six divisions that are run fairly similarly to the T3 go up to the T3, with the bottom side at the end of the season going down from T3. So it's a straight swap, one for one. There might be an extra team goes up, mine from the northeast, because they've never filled in the extra place. But that remains to be seen. However, as John Cleese would say, there's no riff-raff allowed. All the clubs have to have a licence, which is good. It means a natural progression. In 2022, the teams were promoted via the Thai Amateur League, which saw mass entry, and basically a lot of the sides were just friends made up sides. Not getting the right pedigree of teams into the T3, into the national setup. Now, unfortunately, because the standards are strict, it means that the entries are a little bit random. For instance, the southern section's only got two teams, whereas the northeast, which I'm focused on today, has got nine. The others have got seven and eight. The problem is that a lot of the teams, well, it may be a problem to many of you, and I know some groans already, there are a lot of university-based sides, purely by the virtue of having the money and the setup to obtain the licence. So that's how the semi-pro league works. It's running through till, I would reckon, the start of May, depending on the size of the league. Obviously, the league in the south will play each other four times because there's only two entrants. So yes, I've been fed and watered very amply at Hong Kong Garden, and we've now arrived at Sisaket Rajabhat University Stadium for the game between Sisaket City and Von Chavalitkul University of Nakhon Ratchasima. And believe me, that took some rehearsal practicing that name. So, what do we know about Von Chavalitkul? Well, in 22-23, they entered the FA Cup, went out on penalties away to Samut Songkran, so today will feel like Wembley to them. Sisaket City, on the other hand, got a gubbing 4-1 from Chiang Mai in the same round, in the first round of the FA Cup. Neither side entered the competition this year, but in last year's semi-pro league, Von Chavalitkul ended up second bottom, Sisaket City in third. This season, the opening game, City lost 3-1 away to Ubon Poly United. Von Chavalitkul lost 2-3 at home to Warin Chanrap, who were another Ubon side. So let's see where today takes us. After yesterday's games, everyone who's played two games has won one and lost one. So there's all to play for. It's a fantastic arena, I have to say. Very lucky living in Sisaket with three stadiums, all of good quality. So yes, half-time here at Rajabhat University Stadium in Sisaket. On a sweltering hot day, the half-time score is Sisaket City 2, Von Chavalitkul University 0. And I tell you what, the standard has been pretty good. Those of you who've never ventured to what is equivalent to 4th Division football, give it a go. A fantastic facility, so many sports amenities here. There's a second stadium just behind this with another beautiful grandstand. Swimming pools, lakes, beach volleyball, tennis courts, you name it. And that is why, sorry to say it, the university teams are a good bet to get into the Thai League. They offer the best facilities. Anyway, we'll see what's ahead in the second half. Full-time here at Rajabhat University. I'm battling against the PA like you were last night. 4-0 to Sisaket City against Von Chavalitkul University. 2 goals in each half, and a very fine performance by the team in all red against a side wearing a kit that had the look of a Cadbury's Dairy Milk, that sort of bluey purple colour. They'll travel the 5 hours back to Nakhon Ratchasima. Sisaket City gonna be challengers for promotion on this showing. A good entertaining game, lots of incidents, well worth the money because it was free admission. So that's all. Sisaket City 4, Von Chavalitkul University 0.
Well, there you go. Another fantastic weekend reporting from Thai football grounds. Both sound like we had a good time. I know I did, and it was great to catch up with Andy again. And you sounded like you had fun as well, Rob.
I did, and I know I sound like a broken record, but it's more than the game, isn't it? We obviously both had good fun, saw football, got out and saw new places, had food and drink. What's better than that?
And as you said, the quality in the semi-pro league seems to be quite quite high, doesn't it? I've been hearing some good reports. We've had quite a few people on Twitter saying they've been to games and been quite impressed with the quality of the football and the size of the crowds as well, which is all very encouraging.
It certainly is. I think it helps with the filtering and making sure that those teams do have to have a licence before they get into that league.
That does help, definitely. Now, it is a lot stricter, isn't it? It does make a big difference.
I felt sorry for the Thai FA in a way, having to do the Thailand Amateur League the last time promotion came through that, because it was on the back of COVID and they were stuck for time. But teams were playing three group games within 7 days. Players were unavailable. It wasn't a true reflection of who should have come up, really. This works a lot better.
Now, talking of lower league football, we're going to start our studio segment of the programme with one of the most remarkable games I think there's been in Thai football history. The FA Cup tie between Bangkok FC and Buriram United, which kicked off our week last Wednesday night. We've got a report here from a new contributor, Kevin Tambian. He was at the game with Reza, and we're going to listen to what his thoughts are on the game. And then after that, we've got our regular Buriram correspondent, Jamie Pinder, who sat down with Rob and dissected what went on and what went wrong in that game. So first up, the report, then you'll hear Jamie and Rob talking about the match.
Tied to the podcast. Match reports.
Kevin here reporting from Bangmud Stadium. Bangkok FC and Buriram United played a thrilling match in the FA Cup round of 16. Bangkok FC took an early lead 2 minutes into the game, but Buriram United responded with 2 goals from crosses in the 29th and the 32nd minutes. So the second half saw Bangkok FC fight back with 3 goals. So Lima scored twice, including a goal on the counter-attack in the 48th minute and a hat-trick goal in the 68th minute. But here's what's so exciting, guys. Buriram United didn't give up and scored 2 goals in the 10 minutes of added injury time. But Bangkok FC held on for a dramatic 5-4 victory. So the 7,200 crowd witnessed an unforgettable encounter that will be remembered for its attacking flair and dramatic twist. So this is Kevin reporting from Bangmud Stadium. Cheers.
Thai Football Podcast. Interview.
Welcome to the village of Suan Kwai, Jamie.
Me and the chickens are coming to talk to him.
A very eventful week, Jamie, starting off with last weekend. A proper demolishing of Tero.
Proper demolishing, but still conceding goals is not good. And it wasn't a good omen leading into Wednesday night, of course. Nice to put some goals. We've had like a 4 goals, 4 goals, 6 goals, 4 on Wednesday night and losing. So it's a lot of goals going in. They're not perfect.
You're a very hard school to please at Buriram, that's all I can say. So going on to Wednesday, and you went down to Bangkok.
I did. I went down the first time I've been down to the stadium. Always good to, as Rob knows, always good to get a new place. Good to see so many people in there as well. You know, I think 7,500 in there. It was fabulous. And Bangkok FC Central Hardcore, absolutely rocking. Fabulous. The Buriram away in full. They had 1,000 tickets. I think they sold 1,000 tickets. It must have looked fabulous, the stadium that night.
Although it's an athletic stadium, I'm impressed with the way they've got all the different banners around the pitch. It does feel like a home stadium.
It didn't feel like some of those stadiums do, where you got the running track. Because it's a special night, it's the cup, for goodness sake. The pitch is a bit third division, if you don't mind me saying. But good support from both sides, excellent to see.
I watched it here with my wife and we thoroughly enjoyed every minute. If you didn't enjoy that as a football fan, you're never going to enjoy it again.
There are nights, Rob, where, like, we played, you know, when we played at Port, for goodness sake, we were pathetic. Port absolutely killed us and we deserved it. You have nights like this where it was an incredible game of football. 9 goals. Some great goals as well, and I was actually applauding the Bangkok goals at the end, because the way they just took us apart sometimes, you couldn't be angry about it. It was just a great cup tie, and even the drive back, you were like, yeah, we lost 5-4, so be it.
So obviously it was a little bit easier for us neutrals to enjoy, though I'm sure there was plenty of cheering around the country. What did you make of Papasith's tactics and selection on the night?
They left 4 players behind in Buriram to prepare for the game on Sunday, which was a little surprising. You know, you think you might take your best squad with you, but actually leaving behind, they obviously maybe thought it was going to be too easy, which is a huge mistake. I'm still not a fan of Pappas, despite the results we've had in the league, all of the wins we've had this year. I'm still not a fan. He's still not the man for the job. And so leaving players and putting out an average team against a Bangkok FC team that's on a roll, you know there's going to be an issue with it. I personally think that. You've got guys on the bench, you've got, you know, some great players on the bench, but you've got a defence which is one big defender who's slow and one defender who shouldn't be near the squad is recipe for disaster, Rob, I'm afraid.
It was a bit of a surprise. You don't often see a goalkeeper substituted without an injury.
No, that can't be good for the goalkeeper. Imagine the confidence of the keeper if you get taken off at half-time.
It panned round to him going off and the guy looked absolutely broken.
We actually normally sit with his parents, funny enough, and they weren't exactly impressed by it. But, you know, generally, if I can talk about the game, Robin, generally, if you're going to go that 1-0 down in a cup tie, the second minute is a good time to do it because you've got, you know, loads of time to catch up. As it turned out, it wasn't a good time to do it. You know, they scored a simple goal, a simple tap-in. You know, their young coach, which had been a bit of chat about, obviously tactically very aware. He had must have looked at tapes and he has seen everything that we've seen in the last year where Buriram are vulnerable. And he capitalised every time. His tactics were spot on, you know, playing the ball inside our fullbacks or behind our fullbacks. He knew the weaknesses and they exposed us totally.
They're certainly the best side I've seen live in T3 this year. Bangkok FC and Sisaket both unbeaten, but Bangkok dismantled them up here. So you had a decent view of proceedings and the goals.
One or two stood out for me. One was, I think it was their third goal just after half time, where the guy did the long run from the halfway line. But what you didn't see before that was it was almost like someone just clipped their fingers and they went into a press about 10 yards inside their own half and they pressed three defenders, won the ball back and the guy then went through. It was the press that made that goal. That was really impressive the way they did that. Another goal, I think maybe the second goal, where they actually put the ball long behind us as well. Perfect ball. Everything they did, the tactics were great, but when they executed it perfectly as well, and that's the difference.
Sure, and great resilience as well. I mean, I'll be honest, when it went to 2-1 to Buriram, I was thinking to the second half, what else is on the app? You know, I could see it being a bit of a one-sided game, but how they proved me wrong.
Yeah, I thought 2-1 half-time, I thought, okay, it'll be 2-1 the second half, end 4-2. That was my kind of thought. And then five minutes into the second half, we're 3-2 down, you're like, well, we've still got lots of time. But this is, we've talked about things like, you know, I hate to say it, time wasting. 50 minutes, the goalkeeper's got the ball, he's already diving on the floor, wasting time. And you know at that point, the next 40 minutes is going to be a long 40 minutes. There's going to be one or two injuries, shall we say, for the home team.
For sure, but it's a long time since, without any long-term injuries and stretches coming on the pitch, I've ever seen a board go up saying 10 minutes.
I was going for 8, honestly, purely because they were going down like proverbial flies. There was one where their central defender went down in the 6-yard box and he was eventually stretchered off and then sprinted along the back of the goal line, up to the halfway line, waved the referee to come on, at which point another player went down as he was running on the pitch. We were trying to shout at the centre forward we have, Demboya, if you can't win the ball in the air, don't challenge the keeper. Because if you challenge him, he's going to die on the floor. And you knew every time he went up with him, bang, goalkeeper's down again. And the goalkeeper can't go off. All teams now realise if you're going to fake injury, fake the goalkeeper. That's the way to do it.
I've got to agree, I hate time wasting, but I just thought that was excessive. Perhaps because of the refs don't do it. Where he found the actual 6 minutes after the 10 is another matter.
Well, I was watching the clock and the first 5 minutes of injury time, 4 minutes were taken up by injuries. So that's where the added time came on for sure. And I would say, Rob, you've seen me on Twitter about this. If ever there was an advert for rugby-style stop the clock for injuries and substitutions, that was the perfect example to show if there's an injury, time off, stop the clock. No arguments there.
I'd rather referees just really clamp down, started showing yellow cards. I don't want to be sat in a football ground for 2.5 hours.
No, if there's not going to be a rugby-style situation, the ref's going to just say, you're not injured, play on.
Yeah.
And just let them play on. And eventually people, will they stop? I don't know. Whatever you do, Rob, with football, whatever rule you change, footballers find a way of getting around it.
Not half. And thankfully, there was no VAR either, so goodness knows how long we could have been there on there, because there was plenty of contentious issues.
Tell me, you watched on TV, out of the 9 goals, were any of them contentious that VAR would have got involved?
I'm not sure about that, but there was certainly a decision in the first half where the big centre-forward for Bangkok got through and the linesman gave a free kick, which I've just completely confounded me. I've no idea why he gave it. I have to say, by the way, I thought Dambuwa had a really good game the other night. That's the best I've seen him play in a Bury Rams shirt.
It is
a low bar, admittedly, but he really put himself about. He was a handful. Yeah. You rate your new signings, yeah?
The number seven, Bissoli, I think he's played four games, scored eight goals, super overhead kick last week, hit the crossbar this week during the game on Wednesday with an overhead kick. If we go on to win the league, it will be because of him, his input. But there's a huge if there. We could have an incredibly interesting end of the season, Rob. 3 weeks from the end of the season, we host Port. And Rob Bonard, you are banned from going to that match.
Well, the good news for you is I might be at the Rocket Festival at Yossertown.
Bloody okay.
But I seriously think, and I've stuck by it all season, I think Port might as well practice in training the Guard of Honour for when they come to the Thunder Castle.
I'm going to say this, and I'm going to go into real negative mode. Port can come to our place 3 games to the end and win the league at our place. And imagine, I am at that point quitting Twitter forever.
Do you know what? I think I'll have a spell off it. It could be unbearable.
Her madamness leaves Port and Port win the league at the same time. Imagine.
Oh, well, she'll be doing a John Terry and turning up to present the trophy in her Port shirt. Don't worry about
worst
that.
Worst case scenario, she gives it to Port. Oh, how horrible is that going to be? Sorry, Port fans. That's horrible. It's a nightmare scenario.
But as you say, it's been a good season because there's been so much interest rather than a runaway leader.
Yeah, it's funny. A couple of weeks ago, people were talking about runaway league, and it's not, you know.
Yes, I'd just like to remind you at the mid-season break, you told me it was a one-horse race, and I'd got the wrong team. Although many bookies back in England will agree with you, I've got it right this time.
It's not because, you know, Bury Ram have done what they normally do. They've won six or seven on a trot. It's just Bangkok have just faded terribly. Port have really quietly just kept winning and winning and winning. I'm tipping Port.
The funny thing is, Bangkok United haven't lost too many. They're just drawing a lot. So we'll see how it goes anyway. But thanks ever so much, Jamie. I hope you've enjoyed visiting rural CCK.
Rob, I am enchanted by your lovely house here and your garden. I think it's fabulous, and I can understand why you enjoy living here.
Cheers, Jamie.
All right, Rob. Thanks, mate.
There's not much more else to say, is there? I mean, it was a remarkable night. I mean, I was at the Chombury game. We were getting updates of the score. And then, thankfully, because they played so much injury time, we were all outside having a drink when the final whistle went. And there was quite a lot of rejoicing, I've got to say. You know, so I think it was quite a popular result throughout the country, wasn't it?
It sure was. But as you say, an incredible game. As I mentioned to Jamie, I was thinking of watching your game when Bury Ram went 2-1 up. But what a comeback. And the goals were such good quality.
Well, we've been tipping Bangkok FC for a while on this show, so I think we've indicated, haven't we?
Sure are, and I got the added bonus of watching the most of the extra time between Songkhla and Bangkok United, and Songkhla, believe me, they're going to be tough to beat in that southern section of the playoffs.
And all credit to Jamie for coming on. We've had him on a couple of times after Bury Ram United have lost, but I think he's like the cat that's got the cream now following Sunday night's win against Bangkok United, isn't he? Again, coming back from 2-0 down, but this time hanging on to win 3-2. Well, hanging on is probably not the right expression. They probably could have had a couple more, couldn't they?
They certainly could. That was some performance. So you've got to give them credit. And as Jamie said in his interview with me, he pinpointed the star man and up he came, got two.
Now, talking of Thai League action, our friend Bill is back. Very unexpected this week. He sent in a report, as he'll tell you in his introduction. So this is a very happy Bill following Sukhothai's 2-1 win against Chiang Rai United.
Tied to Podcast Match Report.
This is the match report that you did not ask for. In the history of world football, this report is essential in understanding why masses of people return week after week, year after year, to enjoy the visceral thrills and excitement of the beautiful game. The excitement of the Sukhothai Chiang Rai game began the instant we saw the team selection. With the exception of John Baggio, there were no stars. Bonilla, our star striker, was absent, as was Solda, the Brazilian who is central to our defensive scheme. My personal favorite, Chakrit, was missing, as was Lursan. This was a team of utility players, and it was going to be critical to the coach's future with the club. The game began at a ferocious pace, and the Chiang Rai goal was peppered with shots and strikes from far and wide and everywhere in between. However, around the 25th minute mark, a doubt began to creep in that maybe if Chiang Rai weathered this blizzard of attack, they just might sneak upfield and get an undeserved but critical goal. And that is exactly what happened. In the 37th minute, we found ourselves a goal down. Crisis or calm? Scream about brutal daylight robbery or just shut up and get on with it? At halftime, we were still a goal down. A minute into the second half and Bonilla appeared. 15 minutes later, Chiang Rai got a red card. One might think that a 10-man team was going to be easier to score on. However, Chiang Rai had no intention of venturing out of their half. And when a bus is parked in front of goal, it is irrelevant whether it contains 10 or 11 players. A few minutes later, our coach unleashed Chakrit, Lursan and Jakapong, our Ghanaian future superstar. In the 80th minute, Bonilla finally got us on the score sheet. Utter relief. We were not going to be robbed blind. A one-point draw was still injustice, but it is better than a loss. 90 minutes, and the ref added 6 more for extra time. The Firebat assault on the Chiang Rai goal continued unabated. The story of the game. Then, in the 95th minute, Jakapong got the ball, ran circles around each of the entire Chiang Rai team, and fired home the winner. 2-1 for the good guys. If you have ever wondered why we return after losing to the likes of Chonburi, the second Jakapong strike hits the net explains it all. Thank you.
You know, Dale, we have a lot of reports coming into our podcast, and that is one of the best. That is just encapsulates what football's all about. It doesn't happen often, but you go away, don't you, after a game, you think, oh, God, I can't wait for next week now.
That definitely came across, didn't it, in Bill's report. It was very passionate. I think he was still stinging from the Chonburi defeat the week earlier. He did make mention of that at the end, which I kept in. I was tempted to edit that bit out, but it would have been unfair on Bill. I'm not the Russian Politburo.
I was going to say, losing to the likes of Chonburi. I did laugh at that.
Now, the weekend saw one of the most remarkable events in Thai football. I mean, even given what I've seen over the past 27 years in the local game, this took some beating, I think. Futura United were due to play against EGY Thai, and the match didn't happen because the EGY chairman, owner, manager, coach, whatever he was carried unceremoniously out of the ground by an army of security people. It's just astonishing. And we're joined now by Mark from Futura United, who's going to give us his version of events.
Welcome along to the podcast, Mark. It's great to have you here. I'm not even going to ask. I'm just going to hand over to you and you can tell us all about Saturday. I think we've all seen the videos. We've all read the tweets. We've all seen the reports. What went on, Mark?
Now, it was crazy. In all the years I've been doing football, I've never seen anything like this. So 1 o'clock, I get a phone call to tell me that the game is possibly off. Like, we've gone into semi-pro league. I'm expected a bit of professionalism. Been in the amateurs for 2 years where this kind of stuff happens all the time. But I wasn't expecting a phone call like this throughout such a small season. And I'm told that there's a bit of a ruckus at the ground and that's the reason why. By 3 o'clock, I've got videos coming through to me of the owner of the other club rolling around on the grass crying. I know him. So, like, there was parts of it that wasn't that surprising to me, but it was unreal. So then I had a video come through and he's running around and screaming at the officials, etc. And by the time I get there, he's being manhandled, which is basically the video you've all seen. He's being manhandled, taken out the grounds, screaming and shouting. Lots of Thais are standing there sort of watching, and ogling what's going on. I still don't really understand it, I'll be honest. There was bills that weren't paid, or they were paid, or there was many arguments that were going on. It was difficult to take it all in. From a human point of view, it wasn't very comfortable to watch. You had one guy, Farang, stepped outside, he's crying, he's screaming, and then you have a lot of other people on the other side sort of looking at him, laughing, like you almost using it as a bit of entertainment. As I said, I've known the guy for a few years. He's a character. He's pretty polarizing within the industry. Anybody's been in football knows who he is. It was just difficult to watch. It was difficult to understand what was going on. And from a footballing point of view, as the owner of the opposing club, it was getting pretty frustrating. You know, like, we don't know what's happening. We don't know if we're getting 3 points. We don't know if the game's being cancelled. We're hearing all sorts of stuff. Thai FA officials, for once, I think I'm allowed to say that, did a pretty good job, I think. They sort of listened to every side. They took court. The decision they made on the day was that Futaria United get 3 points. But since then, it still hasn't been announced. So I'll sort of believe that when I see it. The week before, we'd drawn in the last minute with a penalty, and it was a crazy game. And I thought that's about as much sort of emotion as we get. But Saturday was a complete one-off. I'm not new to Thai football, been around it for a long, long time, but even I've never seen anything like this. If I was going to be a conspiracy theorist, it felt like the first ever coup in Thai football, where somebody sort of made decisions on how to take over the club that day. Maybe rightly or wrongly, I'm not saying that they weren't correct in what they did, but it did feel very much like a coup. The owner was getting put to one side, and they may have had very good reason for that, and I'm sure they probably did, sort of knowing that I've heard the rumours in the past, etc. You've obviously seen the videos, Dale, and everything that's
I've seen the videos. I mean, you have my sympathy. I mean, to be in that situation must have been extremely difficult. You've used the word uncomfortable, and that's how I felt just watching the 60-second clip or whatever it was. So I can't imagine what you were going through actually at the ground. What were the players doing at the time, and what were the staff doing? I mean, presumably everybody was there getting ready for the game, were they?
Yeah, it was very confusing for them. Like, they had their training gear on, they were going outside. A lot of them were just saying, can we not just play a friendly or something? Can we just do something? We're all here, everybody's ready. But it was overall confusion. The one thing I'd say is that because I knew him, it made it harder. So whereas where I felt like he was by himself in this, I tried to mediate. I tried to go over, sort of, he's the owner of that club, I'm the owner of this, go over and sort of have a chat with him. And like, that calmed him down, I think, I hope, a little bit, because it was getting way, way over the top. I don't know what happens here. I think that's the thing that probably, I don't think there's a precedent for it. The club haven't played because there's a load of craziness that goes on before the game. What do the league do now? In effect, do they throw the club out? And that's not great. It messes up a season that we've all been working towards. Do they give us the points for the game? Is that fair to the other teams? I'm not sure. There's just so many questions to answer from it. And I'm just not sure where the Thai FA go from here. They made announcements on the day, and they definitely haven't kept to them thus far. You don't expect it, do you? I guess, Dale, you've obviously watched football in Thailand for a long time as well. So you expect craziness. Like, you expect things to happen that you've probably never seen in any other league around the world. And the way I run a football club and have done for a while, probably I add to that craziness a little bit. So it would be hypocritical for me to sort of say that I'm amazed by what goes on around me in Thai football. But yeah, you don't want to see a grown adult in so much distress, whether it was his own doing or not. It's not what you want to see on a Saturday afternoon when you've been looking forward to getting your second game in the TSP underway for many, many months, basically. But 60,000 views on Facebook, Football CM got on that video. So I'm guessing you could say it's gone viral. Maybe that's the kind of thing that shouldn't go viral. I don't know.
I mean, this is the problem now. There's just cameras everywhere. So every move you make is recorded, isn't it, for posterity, and you can't escape it.
I just said about Football CM put out that video, which they were totally within their rights to do, 100%. I will put out that the person who leaked that video was none other than the guy that was being carried out that day. So I think that's got to be put out there, that, like, you don't want to see a guy in distress, you don't want to see all those things, but the person who put that video out into the open was the guy that was being carried out. I'm not sure if he meant it to be seen by 60,000 people, but yeah, it was a very strange decision for him to have done that. And he tagged me in it as well at the same time. We've got Saturn on Saturday. I really hope it's just normal. It'd be really nice to just play a normal game of football and not have that kind of stuff beforehand, or last minute penalties and stuff like that. It would be nice just to play a normal game of football in this league and
and see how it plays out.
I was going to say thanks for coming on and clearing that up, but you've actually made it even more complicated. So I guess we'll all just have to wait and see what happens. Thanks very much, Mark. Really appreciate that.
No worries, Dale. Thanks very much for having me on, mate.
Well, if you don't need any more beckoning to go and watch semi-pro league, that is a great reason to go.
Yeah, astonishing. And it's good to have that eyewitness report as well.
Definitely. Thanks, Mark. I hope we'll catch up in a few weeks.
One of our regular features seems to be Claire's fashion tips, where she runs her artist's eye over the strips being worn by various clubs in the Thai League. Now, normally she's at the game and she's commenting on what she's seeing. But this week we had a request. Marco sent in a photograph of the current Thai port kit and said, I'd love to know what Claire's impressions are of this. So I asked Claire, and here's what she had to say.
Okay, so the shirt. I like the complementary colour scheme of the orange and the blue. That's quite a nice contrast. I'm not so keen at all, actually. I completely don't like the badges and the organisation of the kind of graphic elements. I think that's really poor. That big turquoise square completely detracts from the effect of the violet, blue and orange combination. What else can I say? Too many badges, too many diverse graphic symbols, I would say. There needs more coherence.
Oh, she's good. I hope Claire, by the way, enjoyed my kit description on my roving report. But don't worry, Claire, I know my place.
Oh, she's very good. She's very, very, very talented as well. Like I say, she is an artist. She's an art teacher as well. So she knows her stuff. And I think that's quite a fair description of the port kit. I mean, she's pretty much saying what a lot of people have said. The big blue square, or turquoise, as she called it, probably correctly in her summing up, does ruin any kit that port wear. But it really bugs me. Why can't they just have stripes? I'm a huge fan of just thick, traditional stripes.
My good lady is an owner of the current port shirt, by the way, so I am slightly biased.
Okay, I guess it has its merits. It's just not for everyone. To be fair, Claire actually liked the design on the shirt. It was just ruined by all the sponsors' logos and various badges that she had an issue with, I think.
Yeah, money, money, money.
Now it's our great pleasure to welcome back Matt Riley to the programme. Matt was on a few months ago promoting his book, Thai Football Tales. Now he's got a new book coming out, and in conjunction with that, he's running a competition. So here's Matt to tell you all about his new book, the competition, and an untold story about a Thai international footballer. So it's great to welcome Matt back onto the podcast. Hi, Matt. How are you doing?
Great. Thanks, Dale. Lovely sunny day here in England. Not as sunny as you, I'm sure, but it's nice and crisp and even. So, yeah, we're having a good day.
Good. Yeah, it's very sunny here and very hot. Now, the reason you're on, and you've got a new book coming out, and you're running a competition to promote that as well. So I'm just going to hand over to you and you can explain exactly what's going on, if you like.
Yeah, great. Thanks, Dale. So my next book is called Kit and Community, and it looks at a whole range of different clubs and groups that use football kits to promote maybe their trust identity for my local team, Exeter City, or there's things like football shirts for charity, which raises money for Three Cancer Trust. So I'm really, really pleased to have that come out, and that's coming out in July. Book cover's just been done, and it's really nice to share the stories with people, and particularly to give people a platform. But what I've done as well is I've started a competition. A friend of mine called DJ, who runs a company called Rock and Roll Football Shirts, has very kindly designed a shirt for me that I'd like to give away as a prize in a competition. And as you noticed straight away, Dale, the two colours are modelled on the football team I used to work for, so Pambury FC. The orange that was their away colour and the blue that was their home colour. So very simply, all I'd like to know from people is what football shirts mean for them. Means a lot of things to a lot of different people, but what do shirts mean for you? And all I'd like you to do, you don't need to retweet or follow or anything like that, is just DM me, or you can answer any of the messages on my Twitter. And my Twitter is caboodle68, or you can just put in Matt Riley and you can find it as well. And the competition closes on April 1st, and the most emotionally charged, most exciting description will win a shirt, and I'll send that to you. I know my market, so I've only got large and extra large, which is my market as well. So if you're a tiny, slim, athletic person, you might need to think about that. So that's what it's going to be. And again, it's just really to raise awareness. All the proceeds, all the royalties will go to my local women's football team called Exeter City Women. And it'd be really nice to see what the shirts mean to you, because, you know, I've put down what they mean to me, and I'd love to hear your ideas as well. So thanks for that, Dale. I really appreciate sharing that story with people.
Oh, that's absolutely fine. We're happy to do it. If you don't follow Matt, we'll put a link to his Twitter feed on the notes to this show. We'll put it on our Facebook page. And also, I'll be retweeting it as many times as I can when I see Matt's tweets up there on Twitter. So you've said it's based on the Supambari kit, and it is very nice. Again, there's been photographs all over social media. So just before you go, have you got any tales you can share with us from your time there?
Yeah, ones that I can share with you. I was very lucky while I was working there that Chiril Chapui, who I think is playing for Chiang Mai now, if I'm not mistaken, came to play for us and did a fantastic job on the pitch. But it was a really interesting situation where I would get off the team bus to Tumbleweed. And as soon as Chiril got off the bus, hundreds and hundreds of women would chase him. And I remember a couple of times getting off the bus and actually being pinned behind the bus door while all these women were trying to get his autograph, his phone number, his shorts, anything that they had. And it was a really nice experience to see the kind of good person that Chiril is. And it would have turned a lot of people's heads. Of course, I've never had that experience. I don't know about you, Dale, but being chased down the street by hundreds of women is not something I've had to get used to. So it was great to see that he still kept his sense of balance and his good character. And it was lovely to see that in the background, he was just the same as he was on the TV and all the adverts for Nivea Men and so on that he made.
It's a great story. And no, to answer your question, it's never happened to me. Although last week, Rob did get somebody come up to him in the urinal at Pat Stadium saying they recognised his voice from the podcast. Yeah, it's the closest we're ever going to get to that kind of mania, I think. But that's brilliant. Thank you so much, Matt. And good luck with the book.
Thank you so much.
And good luck with the competition. And like you say, we'll be promoting it as much as we can over our podcast and over our social media pages as well. Hopefully, you'll come on again when the book's out and we can have a little chat about it.
Absolutely. I'd love to, Dale. I'm very proud of it. And as I say, there's a lot of very, very worthy causes in there. And I'm very glad to give them a platform. So it's a lovely experience to share.
Yeah, thanks ever so much, Matt. And a great chance for all you listeners. Have a go. You can all wax lyrical on Twitter when it suits you. See if you can write a description about what the kits matter to you.
And we might get somebody writing in about the current port kit.
We might. We might not.
And if that wins, I'll eat my hat, Rob.
You were laughing at me and my prediction about Buriram a few months ago.
And we've done so well. We got quite near to the end of the programme without you bringing that up. Even when we were talking about the match earlier, you didn't mention it.
You know me, modesty prevails.
Right. Now, to prove we're right up to date, Monday night's match, Tratt against Ratbury, was an absolute cracker, really entertaining for the neutral. So guess who was there, Rob?
Was Rita there?
He was, yeah, surprisingly. And this is what he had to say from a Ratbury. And just listen to his voice in this report. It tells you all. You don't even need to listen to what he's saying. Just listen to the tone of his voice in this report, and it tells you all you need to know.
Tied to the podcast. Match reports.
Good evening from Tratt Stadium. Today, the Monday football of Thai League match day 20 between Ratchaburi FC away game in Tratt. The score 2-2. Ratchaburi scores in the first half, leading 1-0 with a penalty denied by the goalkeeper and a goal that has been overruled by the VAR. In the second half, Ratchaburi come out differently, a little bit slow, but Tratt used that advantage to level the score 1-1. Ratchaburi keep on trying, but they just cannot get the game back as in the first half. Eventually, they scored in the ending stage of the match with Siwakorn scoring 2-1, which bring the excitement to all the fans who travel long way from Ratchaburi to Tratt. But exactly in the 6th minute of last minute of the added time, a free kick, and looks like the man of the match, the goalkeeper, come up to the penalty zone and head the ball in towards Kampon, which also his first concede by not only one but two goals in a match. So the winning streak ends after 4 wins in a row. The 5th match, they only held a draw. So there you go. The Dragons still cannot run away from the unfortunate of playing with the promotion team, unable to win in Trat. Keep on looking forward for the next game with Lampoon Warriors. Come on, you Dragons.
In a way, I guess that Ratbury will be disappointed dropping 2 points, but you've got to give Trat credit. They went to the end. And what a match. It was like a basketball game, wasn't it, that last 20 minutes?
It was really entertaining, really enjoyable. And I've got to say, I did tweet this, but a shout out for Dezo, the Trat player. I would say 99 players out of 100 would have gone down looking for a penalty when they got that shove in the back that he got when he was just about to take a shot. But he kept on his feet, kept his balance and slotted home. I mean, it was route one. The ball was not long from the keeper. There was a head on. I think it was the defender actually who headed it backwards. But he took it well. And like I say, full credit to him for staying on his feet and scoring.
Yeah, great call, Dale. We need more of that.
And then, of course, the drama in the 97th minute again. Yet another late goal. With my Chombury hat on, I would have settled for a Ratbury win, obviously. But as a neutral, as a football fan, that was such a thrilling end. And I think, ultimately, a draw was a fair result.
Yeah, probably. I mean, Trat missed an absolute sitter in the early stages.
And Ratbury missed a couple as well in the second half, didn't they? They had enough clear chances to put that game to bed, I think.
Oh, sure, and they missed a penalty.
But a cracking game. Good advert for Thai football, I thought. And it was full focus as well, so hopefully there were a lot of people watching on TV. Not many in the ground, but let's hope there were plenty watching on TV who've been inspired by it. And it's like that every week, folks. Go, you'll see goals, you'll see drama, you'll see action. It's fantastic. Get out there and watch Thai football.
If I can give a tip, don't go to Konkan with Dale if you want goals.
Oh, don't mention it. Three games, three nil-nils. What odds would you have got on that?
I tell you, I was cursing you a certain part through the game on Saturday night.
Anyway, is there anything else you want to say before we close, Rob?
Yeah, I do. In the very first episode, one of my opinion pieces was about the owners of football clubs. Well, one of them is now the president of the Thai FA. And don't get me wrong, I have my moments with Madam Pan, mainly through her self-promotion, but so far she is doing an outstanding job. Yesterday it was announced. Now, there are people who say, well, the money was due anyway. Well, unfortunately, Madam Pan doesn't have a time machine. She can only deal with what's in front of her now. So to get vast sums of money out to the T2 and T3 teams within 2 days is outstanding. And another thing, she's a appointed Ishii, 3-year deal, great move. And last week, there was quite a bit of vitriol on Twitter about the new innovation of a referee's draw. Now, anything that builds interest about the Thai League has got to be good. It's not just about Farangs, as I keep saying. If it attracts loads and loads of Thais to watch something like that, what a great idea. And if anything, the referee in the Buriram against Bangkok United game was under more pressure to get it right. And he did. He had a superb game.
I've got to agree with pretty much everything you say there, Rob. I think she's made a really good start. It's very positive. I think what it was before a lot of the issues were the self-promotion thing. But again, that's, you know, I think Toby brought that up, didn't he, in a chat I had with him. It is cultural and you have to accept it. But she is getting things done. Let's hope that she can put right a lot of the wrongs. And again, the fact that she's female, for me, I think that's brilliant. This is what we need in a society that tends to be quite patriarchal. I'm getting all political now, but I think it's great, and she's made a fantastic start. I completely agree with you, mate.
But the thing is, the three people who are running things are successful business people. They don't become millionaires by being idiots. They know what they're doing, and they've got to be an improvement. There's no way they want to fail and lose face.
I think for many people, the issue still remains that they are closely connected with certain clubs. That seems to be the big worry, doesn't it? And I don't know how they're going to get around that. I think if they didn't have those affiliations, then people would have a lot more faith in them running the league. We all know when certain things are going to happen, where their loyalties are going to be, how things are going to be perceived. I think that is still a big issue. And that's something that they need to resolve pretty quickly for me.
It is, Dale, but they own three of the four biggest clubs. They're going to be at the top anyway. You know, it doesn't make an ounce of difference. I know what you mean, and it'd be great to have somebody not involved, but where are these people? With the last set didn't do a great job, did they?
Not really. And I don't think we need to mention anything that's happening at the moment with the last head of the Football Association either. Anyway, this is something we could debate all night, couldn't we, really? So I think we'd probably better close it there. Another fantastic week. Thank you to everyone. The contributions we're getting is just astonishing. We're just knocked out by the number of people wanting to be involved. So thank you to everyone who's contributed today and in the previous 36 plus episodes. We do really, really appreciate you sending us stuff in.
We do, and we're learning all the time thanks to you guys. It matters, it really does. Get yourselves out this weekend and have fun.